This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
We have two co-founders of Open Minds Resources with us today. And it's pretty interesting. I mean, I've heard of Jen 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys seem like the cool, hip digital marketing, you know, company to work with beanbags. And it's successful, I guess. I saw on Facebook, I mean, I didn't mean to stalk you, or you just appeared on my timeline, that you have been nominated to be Forbes 30 Under 30. So you must have done something right.
I hope I've done something right, to be honest. I mean, this journey of starting up, building Open Minds Resources has been very exciting. It's been very challenging in the beginning. It still is. But the excitement and the passion is still there. We pretty much came up from nothing. Open Minds is celebrating their 5th year anniversary this year in September. And I still remember really clearly when we first started, when we first came together, we bootstrapped from zero. We received no funding. Mm. We had no money to put into the company back then as well. But we just ran with it. And it's really encouraging and very exciting to see how far we have come this 4.5 years.
Mm, and that's Jen Wong. He's the co-founder of Open Minds Resources. Now, the thing is, back then, 5 years ago, I try to remember, I mean, digital marketing, you know, social media, strategists, back then it's like something very loosely, you know, everybody can be a social media manager.
Is.
Everybody can do that because as long as a Facebook and Twitter, I can do this job.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the case? And the fact that you were starting a company to do just that, people, were they questioning your credibility?
Actually, there were, right?
Yeah, they were.
In the early days, people were saying that, you know, what kind of a company? You are not an advertising agency. Yeah. You are not a media buying agency. You are a social media consultancy company. What's that? At that point in time, it was tough trying to educate clients, potential customers, to really wrap their head around, why do you even need to manage social media? It was an uphill battle. And back then, we were, I don't know, I mean, we looked a lot younger as well.
Still do.
All right. But when we stepped into offices, we always get these surprise looks on the faces of our clients. They're like, who are this bunch of school leavers coming in to talk to us about social media
still
marketing?
Still get it now sometimes.
Sometimes, not as often as before, but it was a real challenge, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl is just nodding like, you know, frantically, yes, that's what I went through, right? So tell us, where were you at that point of time when you met Jen, you decided to start this? What situation were you at?
The stars aligned and we met. It was interesting because at that time, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I just wanted to start my own business since high school. So at that time, around when I was 19 or 20 years old, I started my first company. Had to do with specialized talents and also video production. Right, so more leaning towards the video production. I went about, you know, doing and trying my best to sell the company, trying my best to get out there and even get customers, you know, and get people to buy into the concept. So along the way, I met Jen. Actually, I knew Jen as a Quinton, you know, maybe one, 2 years back, yeah, in college days. Not in the same college, but we had mutual friends. Mutual friends. And I met him a couple of times through some funny moments as well we were able to connect. And then one day I just called him out and say, hey, Jen, I have this video production company. Yeah, this is the concept. And I heard Open Minds was also doing social media. Right, and digital. So he said, let's meet up at the Mama. You know,
the Mama is just round.
The Mama is round the corner here. Yeah.
Centerpoint.
Yes, Centerpoint.
The banana leaf.
Correct.
Yes.
The older version of the banana leaf, right? You know, before it was renovated. So then we met up there and got to talking, you know, and I shared my ideas and so on. We found that there was synergy. And that's how we first started even working on our very first prospect and client. From then on, we merged and became keep the name Open Minds.
What was your idea with the video element? I'm sure like video seemed a bit, you know, old school if you think about it now, right? But what was your vision then?
Back then, about if I say the years, then you know how old I am. But a few years back then, video was upcoming. There were a lot of demand for video, but I found that there was a challenge of coordination. whether it's through a video company or because video production teams then weren't that lean. And they were functioning a lot on systematic way of doing production. So the concept was being able to bring the client or business to a more leaner production team. And I'm in the middle right there to just match make them. At that time, not so technology savvy. So, you know, there wasn't an app to match make you, you know. There wasn't a website so-called to match make, but very still a bit more manual. And building relationships and networks. So at that time, it sounded good. Even now, I foresee there are a lot leaner types of video production companies, you know. And now you can switch on your phone, you know. And like, you know, we've talked about last time, like Facebook Live and so on. Yeah.
Back to Jen. Daryl met you. You've already had Open Minds Resources running. If we just rewind a few more years before that, before the boom of, you know, people going into social media, consultancy and things like that, what made you realize that this is a sure-win business? You know, something that was going to take off.
It's interesting because a little bit about myself, I actually started my first company when I was 17 years old. So back then, it has nothing to do with social media. It was just a dream to sell computer hardware and that's it. But through this process of building that company of mine, I took a lot of time to really study what digital marketing really is. Back then, there was no social media. It was just Friendster at that era. And
revealing your age.
Yeah, no, Friendster was
I don't know.
Yeah, 2003, right? 2002,
yeah,
2003.
About that, yeah.
MySpace time.
MySpace time, yeah. Those were the cool platforms. But businesses weren't on there. But search engine optimization was key at that point of time. I spent a lot of time looking at search engine optimization. And it worked. I mean, even for my businesses back then, just relying on search engine itself, I spent nothing, 0 cents. But still, we were able to reach big, huge clients that were willing to pay for the services I was offering back then. And that just got me thinking. That just got me wondering. Say, hey, I mean, there's no radio ads. There were no television ads. I didn't spend a single cent on buntings and flyers. It was just search engine. And still, I created something out of it. So that really got me thinking. And I started going to it a little bit more. And eventually, people started inviting me to train their teams into small companies to really talk about search engine marketing and how they should write content and how they should build their websites.
Which year was this?
This was probably in 2009.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so still relatively. And all this slowly builds up. And then suddenly, Facebook just appeared.
Mm.
And it was interesting at a point of time because Facebook has yet to go into businesses. But you see everybody flocking to it. And it's interesting because at that time, I wondered, what if social media or what if Facebook can be used for marketing purposes as well on top of search engine? And there were a lot of talks back then where Google is taking into consideration social traffic as one of the considerations. And that just one thing led after another. And yeah, and that became the basis of why Open Minds was able to go through all these years.
Okay. And what happened to the hardware shop?
The hardware shop, okay. To be honest, it didn't really became a shop. It was still a one-man show. But it pivoted. Actually, the business ran for about 5 to 6 years before it was sold to the partner.
When was the time when you realized, okay, I will start a social media consultancy company where it's like a permanent label and that's what you do?
It happened at a point of time where during the very, very early days of Open Minds, where a few friends of ours in college, We all did the same IT development degree. So we had this dream of creating our very own app at that point of time. We started knocking on doors for funding. And interestingly, the people that we speak to are more interested or more intrigued with how we go about doing marketing rather than the idea of the app itself. And in fact, almost 10 out of 10 ask us if we are interested managing their marketing efforts. And these were really big brands at the point of time. And it came to a point where we sat down and say, it seems that this app isn't really what we should go for. And we didn't really think much back then. So the four of us back then and four of us just went our separate ways. But I thought that since my background was from marketing as well, I just took this on. And lo and behold, the first client came in, the second client came in, and we thought that, okay, I need to call these guys back. And then, yeah. And then that became the permanent label for us to really put a new company together, just focusing on Open Minds, just focusing on social media marketing. Yeah.
Okay. I think here, because, sorry, just to add on, is that we realized that the marketing execution was important, but what made us stand out among the businesses is that when we went in with a strategy and we consult them not only solely based on digital or social media, but we ask them about their business as a whole. You know, I think we enjoy that a lot, you know, recognizing the business, recognizing its pain points, its challenges. And I think from then on, we say, hey, this is actually very good. This not only management, we shouldn't label ourselves that way. We are actually social media consultants, right? So every teammate now also goes through a series of training, you know, informal training to become consultants ultimately.
How have clients changed throughout the years? Up next, with the co-founders of Open Minds Resources, Daryl Tan and Jen Wong on Enterprise, stay with us, BFM 89.9.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
We're back on Enterprise with the co-founders of Open Minds Resources, a social media consultancy that started out 5 years ago, Jen Wong and Daryl Tan. So do you remember, Jen said that you have one client after another, and I'm guessing those clients are big and that's your break. Do you remember what was it like, you know, servicing this client and how much it has changed to, you know, how you would consult clients today?
I guess during our so-called, quote-unquote, big break then, the brand that we first got, you know, was big, you know, to us because we were a very small firm. Yeah, it was in the F&B industry. They did desserts. So what happened was we managed to consult them, also, you know, rectify their whole web page, drive traffic, how do you build funnels to get customers in, manage their social media platforms, consult them constantly for a few years. And at that time, things were, well, simpler. Yeah, it was very straightforward. There's no Facebook Live, there's no VR, you know, it's still very straightforward. You know, postings, content, video, polling, you know, open the Facebook page, Instagram and whatnot. In recent years, as we also had multiple breaks in terms of client, yes, the clients are getting bigger, also demanding, which is also a good challenge for us because it keeps us on our toe. It keeps us always wanting to know more about the industry, and because we have that hunger, I think among the team as well, we're able to serve them, of course, in a more holistic manner. So it has changed, definitely has changed. It has changed tremendously in terms of the duration between one new platform's feature and, you know, a launch of another feature. And then the clients, you know, like Jen said earlier, some clients take it up a bit later, so they're the back burner. Some want it immediately. Like I launched yesterday, hey, have you guys been using this? So the way we consult them has to be more holistic. It has to take on a whole new level, right? Even involving more people sometimes, more resources, more expertise, right? Into content, creative, tech is involved, social, digital strategists are involved. And all this brings together one lump sum of, you know, ideas. And this whole big unit, you know, has to brainstorm constantly and stay updated, you know. And that's how we move forward nowadays. Because of the platforms that we rely on, and also clients' brands' expectations has changed. Marketers are even more knowledgeable now as well.
How has the industry changed and shifted in the last 5 years?
Oh, it has changed quite a bit, actually. I mean, one of the main changes that we have seen is even the mindset of the clients. 5 years ago, we had to convince them that Facebook is the way forward. We have to convince them that you need to spend X amount of dollars to do, write this content, to do this planning. And many people just can't see it happening. But today, you see clients calling up and say, hey, no, I want to do this. And they, it seems as though they are the consultants sometimes, although sometimes they may just be saying whatever they have in mind, maybe right, maybe wrong. But if just the mindset alone, we have seen a big shift. Even if you look at this industry, back then, like what Daryl has rightfully said, that it's a lot simpler. You have freelance bloggers going around. You have a lot of blog-based advertising. Those were the days. But today, you'll see you have the YouTubers coming up in one space on social media. You have the bloggers still around. You have the Instagrammers. You have people that just focus on community management. The industry has grown horizontally, and the verticals has also went deeper, where people are really trying to specialize in certain areas of social media itself.
Okay. I mean, talking about demanding clients, and I'm guessing because there's a lot of information available today, you know, like they would assume things work this way. You know, the one I read online is path A. And how come you're not following path A? I'm sure you face with that, right? So how do you deal with this
that
client?
Always happens. That always
then
happens.
What's your comeback, you know? What's your comeback to them?
To us, it's very simple. And it's this exact same point that make us unique among our competitors out there. When the way we approach marketing is that we don't just look at the trends or what's creative and fun. We treat that as just elements to what's more important, which is the business nature and the business problems the client is particularly facing. So what usually happens when we meet the client is that we don't really ask, what do you want to do on Facebook? We don't ask, what's your budget? How much ads you want to buy? What kind of platforms you like? We always go in with, what's your problem? What are the problems your business is facing? And then we try to see and fit which social media channel or platform or content that can go well with your business. So although this client may have came with a grand idea of how their brand should be like on Facebook, you say, hey, you know, take a step back. Is this even relevant? If you're going to do this, have you thought about point A, you know, whether you have the resources to do it, do you have the expertise to do it, are you even willing to disclose so much? And usually these are points where clients have never thought of. They will then really begin to understand that it's not just about the trends, but something more sustainable for the business.
Okay, and your business mainly focuses here in Malaysia, right?
Yes and no. Yeah. So interestingly, in the past 2 years, our clientele has really expanded and grew out of Malaysia. Right now, we have clients in Thailand, Singapore, Indonesia, in Germany as well, in China, Taiwan. Yeah. So we are pretty much international, I would say. It's exciting times as well because we are also currently in the midst of setting up our first subsidiary office in Hong Kong.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay, well, then walk us through the growth of Open Minds Resources from the one-man show selling hardware to today you have, you know, international client base.
Open Minds grew a lot in the last 5 years. In fact, I often tell Daryl and the team sometimes that this growth is quite scary to begin with. When we first started out, you're right, we were only one-man show, and then it grew to two, and then it grew to five of us. And right now, we are actually at 33. And the business reach has also grown quite a bit. In fact, before Hong Kong, we actually had a small office in Kazakhstan. We did a test run there. It went pretty well.
What were you doing in Kazakhstan?
Being the pioneers. Yeah,
but how did that come about? Like, why Kazakhstan? That's random.
It was. It's a very interesting country, actually. They are very new to technology, but they're also very excited about technology. And we thought we really wanted to go in and test the grounds. But Kazakhstan being a country very driven by the oil and gas economy situation, and because of recent happenings, it's not been doing very well. Therefore, we've shifted our focus away from Kazakhstan and now going full force into Hong Kong.
Why Hong Kong?
Well, Hong Kong is interesting because if you look at Hong Kong and its growth right now and its economy into digital, into analytics, in business, is how they look in marketing, right? We feel that because of the similarities of culture, right, we're able to set up and be able to help and consult them on social media, on analytics, on technology. So actually the services that we're offering there is pretty relevant to them and also similar to what we offer. We're starting off with social media and analytics right now, but I mean, it doesn't give us an excuse if we got a tech, you know, a client there, you know, we also would go in with consultants. So because of the landscape, the maturity of the landscape, as compared even to Kazakhstan, it's mature enough to handle this kind of platforms, this kind of methods of marketing. Of course, the time zone, it is the same here, so it's easier for communication. We are looking at, in terms of culture fit as well, we feel that we will probably have a better fit there. And we look at the landscape, how digital is actually growing in Hong Kong, and a lot of companies and businesses are picking up on it. right? And they want people to advise, people to even manage their social media and digital and tech platforms. It's huge, it's large, it's fast-growing, and that's what we like.
In fact, one of the things that made us really want to go into Hong Kong is that, interestingly, many companies in Hong Kong is trying to penetrate Southeast Asia. And we are here.
Yeah.
And we are trying to be able to build that connection at that bond as well, so that with that relationship, we can also help Hong Kong companies establish their presence here in Malaysia or in our neighbouring countries because of our expertise and understanding in this region.
But then, like, how did you decide Hong Kong? Like, you've listed down the things, right? The maturity, you know, the technology adoption, etc. But as the co-founders, you know, you could be at your mama place again. Is it because you knew that there was a gap in Hong Kong that you think you could plug, or you knew someone there who says that I could use your services, or you just said, okay, you know what, I want to go to Hong Kong and you will make that happen?
Actually, it's a combination of all the three. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
through the years, we have always been spending a lot of time talking about the possible countries that Open Minds can potentially step into. Of course, Kazakhstan was a little bit more random than the rest, but Hong Kong was always one of the many countries that we were interested in, simply because that if you look at Hong Kong as a country, they are mature to a certain extent, and people there understand technology. And we always knew that there was a gap because Hong Kong has always been known for the fintech industry. Yeah, but when it comes to digital, they are doing it, but we also see that there are nobody connecting, being the middle person, connecting between the strategy and the execution. And that's the gap we were very interested to fill. It's the same gap that we spotted in Malaysia back then. And through, of course, conversations with the people there, we have decided that it's a very interesting climate and a very good time for us to be in.
Okay. And what about competitors? I'm sure there are people doing the same thing as you.
There is. But when you look at the competitors, even in Hong Kong, these competitors are focused more on the execution bit of things. So they are very into the ad buying, they're very into the content writing, in which is a space where we do not want to go across. So one of our business models is actually to partner with these companies instead to help them restructure or to build even digital teams on how they can better service the clients.
Going back to how big you have grown.
We
jumped a question. Yeah. So as in and day one to today, you have 33 people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in terms of the growth, revenue growth, I guess, you know, multiplied by how many percentage that you've grown?
Wow. From 2015 to 2016 alone, we have grown more than 100%, actually.
Yes.
It's quite amazing considering that we came in with zero. We were recently valued at $5 million, which is something that we have really never expected on day one. Of course, we projected growth, but with all this that's happening, it's really a blessing to be leading Open Minds at this point of time.
Not stating that, you know, it's the growth journey has been really one that is a lot of ups and downs. Although, yes, we've grown more than 100% our valuation now and all. Looking at the landscape even for the past 2 years, I mean, it's challenging for us, especially in growth, whether it be manpower, whether it be through partnerships and opportunities. I think that's why also we are, in terms of growth, we are looking into new ventures.
New countries,
and even new forms of doing business. In fact, we're also starting another business soon. I think that can be revealed when it's more solid. But it's interesting because of this shift and how we want to impact society and impact people, our businesses tend to follow that kind of structure.
So what model is that vision or that the common theme that allows you to do this and setting up new business? What is that thing that you have in mind? That's right. After these messages on Enterprise, the co-founders of Open Minds Resources, Jen Wong and Daryl Tan, are in the studio with us today. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Breaking financial matters. BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise, and we're walking through the growth of Open Minds Resources today with the co-founders, Jen Wong and Daryl Tan. What is the end goal of the company?
The end goal for Open Minds is really to create an ecosystem of businesses, be it startups, be it SMEs, to create an ecosystem where businesses can channel these resources with one another to sort of create an economy in itself. And that is the underlying team and what drives us to continuously create new business opportunities or new business ventures, or even partnering with startups, which we have in the past 4 years as well, to enlarge what we can really do.
And then you said that there are ups and downs. What were the downs?
The downs were, of course, we of course had a fair share of financial issues. Going to be real, you know, past even a few times, you know, whether it be cash flow or even because we are client servicing based company as well. Some clients come, some clients go, and some can be quite abrupt. But we are blessed. We are blessed that our clients are good. They're quite tremendous. They've been kind. And been some of them we've been working for quite some time as well, you know, 3 years, 4 years, and we have a good relationship with them. So I guess the down parts are financials, but sometimes, you know, when you're a small company growing to big company, you have problems with people, right? But the people are dear to us. We invest a lot into people and we believe that people are the ones that are assets. You know, those are the some of the downtimes that we
had. Are talents hard to come by in Malaysia?
Yes, talents are hard to come by, especially
if you look at
like technology or if you look at analysts and some of the people that we find. We have this saying, you know, in Open Mind, saying we want to actually funnel in, or we want to actually farm and nurture the brightest minds in Malaysia. we call graduate rather. We prefer graduation. So they graduate from Open Minds. Yeah, but yes, people come, people go. But I think through our culture and the way we also manage our company, daringly say our, you know, people leaving, you know, the ratio is still quite low. But of course, when we grow bigger, there are more movements. But that's something for us to also, you know, face head on. Yeah.
Do you think that you've mastered the skill of motivating your staff and tell them, okay, this is our future? And I need you to be on the same page. I mean, we hear this all the time, right? I mean, we have podcasts on Raise Your Game and talking about you have to motivate your staff, take ownership. You seem to have been quite successfully retaining your staff, but do you think you've mastered that skill of telling them we will grow together and we will fight till the end?
I wouldn't be so daring to say that we've mastered any of this. But one thing for sure is that we're doing all we can, all that we think that we are right. And we are trying to stick to all these things. One of it is to be able to spend more time with the people. It's a growing challenge. It's an ongoing challenge that we have as the team grows. But that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to build a culture whereby people can freely come together and talk and discuss. But that also presents a certain amount of challenges. So what we're trying to do is really putting our hands into as many areas and aspects as possible.
Yeah.
To further encourage this vision together with the team.
I guess the key here is that we are trying now to live out the motivation instead of speaking it to the team, you know. And we hope that whatever we speak or the way that we live our lives, I guess it's more, again, more caught than taught, so that even the teammates can sustain themselves in terms of being motivated. They can have peer-to-peer motivation. You know, we're trying to get there. We were not there yet, but yeah, I guess it's a journey.
Okay, back to the two of you co-founders. I mean, how do you delegate your responsibilities?
Well, as cliche as it sounds, I think communication really helps. In the early days especially, both of us did almost everything together. And I think through different experiences and through the different projects that we work on, we sort of figured out his strengths and my strengths. And through the years or through the months, then these strengths became more evident and more clear. And therefore, the confidence in delegating also grew. So I would say that it did not just start off and say, oh, okay, this is my job and this is your job. There was not a phase like that. But more of eventually, it became a time where, hey, I think you are good at this, or I think I'm good at this. Let me focus on this and you focus on that. And it's proven to be a pretty good model, actually.
100% of your time at work, right, for Open Minds Resources. How many percentage, how do you break up the percentage where maybe 20% you focus on staff, you know, you sit down with your staff, training them, talking to them, or, you know, teachable moments, right? How many percent meeting clients? How many percent on, you know, just work operations? I don't know. How do you delegate your time?
Sounds like one of our evaluation questions.
Just curious how you work.
It's good. It's a good question. we've asked ourselves many times as well. We try our best to try to put it into a pie chart and, you know, delegate our own time into whatever sections. I think most of the time right now, because we have there's four co-founders, actually, so two of us are co-founders, we have another two more. I think we have segregated our time, or rather our responsibilities, enough that even for Jen and I, we're able to focus on the business growth of the company, whether it be business management, development, new ventures, partnership. So most of the time, even when we come in office or we're outside, it's either meeting with partners, potential partners, or even building the business development team together, or even going into new partnership with startups, with new ventures that we've built, you know, that all we are building. I think a lot of time is spent there. Sometimes we have a joke that, you know, most of the time when we bring in the laptop, we get in at 9, we open the laptop at 7 p.m. You know, that's when work starts, you know. Throughout the day, there are meetings, you know, there are brainstormings, there are, you know, WIP meetings and so on. So a lot of time are spent there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You said you bootstrapped in the early days. So yes. You didn't raise funds from any investors.
We did not raise funds.
Still
100% so self-funded in that sense, yes. Yeah.
Wow. And do you think that's an achievement?
I think there's a lot of story behind this achievement. I think that there were a lot of perseverance and grit that put to it. I still remember the early days when none of us were paid a single cent. Mm-hmm. We have clients coming in, but all of us were saying, okay, it's fine, let's not draw anything, let's keep it. It was only in about our second, moving to third year, where we started drawing some allowances out of the business.
Allowances.
It was really tight, but that actually helped all the partners, in fact, build a certain amount of character, build a lot of perseverance to the company as well. And that in turn actually taught us better management of cash flow. And that really helped. All these experiences built up to how we are able to build a sustainable business and a team of 33 in this 50 of ours.
And if there's one lesson you want to share with other entrepreneurs, what would that be?
I always say this, I try to say this, you know, among the team, is that one thing for entrepreneurs or startup founders is that it's one thing to have skills and competent and the grit to move ahead. What's important, or I believe is important, is your character. So as long as your skill and your competence can match your character, that's important. Because character builds basically your whole personality, the way you think, the way you respond, the way you act, right? Even moving ahead with little money or with a lot of money, that shows your character. So I always tell entrepreneurs, you know, you have to have character as well, and go somewhere that, you know, your skill actually brings you, but your character can also, you know, sustain you to a certain level. I think that's very important for entrepreneurs, especially young entrepreneurs out there.
To me, one of the most important things as an entrepreneur is your mindset, really. Yeah. I think that you can only go as far as where you want to be. And having the right mindset is one of the keys that really gets you far. And I always talk about mindset because, to me, people is the most valuable asset in your team. If you don't have, if you can't build a team that is as zealous as you are, as passionate as you are in whatever business that you're doing, you are practically trying to go in it as a single person. And your growth is limited if you're just going to go through the years alone. And if you're the right mindset, if you're able to spot things and put your mind and heart to it, I think that brings you far.
I can tell your mind is $5 billion now.
Yes. Suddenly.
I'm all right.
So 2017, you know, anything we can expect from Open Minds Resources? I think Hong Kong is on the horizon.
Hong Kong is on the horizon. In fact, we are just weeks away to Hong Kong. A new venture that we're going to it, also launching in a week's time. What we are launching is called Open Space. What we're trying to do is to package some of the essential business needs to startups and SMEs. So these range from legal advisors to tech advisors to marketing advisors to just life coaches, accountants, secretariat services. We're trying to pull these resources together, some of these resources gathered, or rather handpicked over the past few years of Open Minds. And we're trying to be able to create a program and contribute back to startups and new founders really out there.
Because it's very important to build a community. We feel after, you know, running our own startup for a couple of years, it's very important to build this community where people give back, but at the same time, people also earn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole new adventure ahead. Yeah,
yeah. Yes, and it is. Well, I guess for young entrepreneurs who want to find out more, is there a way for us to get more information about this?
Right now, it's still through Open Minds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until we have everything in place, and therefore there'll be a more, a better way of communications, really.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
Daryl Tan and Jen Wong, co-founders of Open Minds Resources. If you have any entrepreneurship stories to share, do tweet us at BFM Radio and hashtag BFM Enterprise. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening. I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.